Shalom, it's the Najid. It's from the desk of the Najid, the podcast where we discuss some of the most pertinent issues to Israel. We look at most of them through political lens, but we're also always, as always, we're going to put it in a biblical perspective because as everything, that is our advantage in the earth this day. We have no advantage simply because we are the seed. We have no advantage simply because of a skin color, most definitely. We have an advantage because we are the seed. But we also study and keep the commandments. Therefore, the scriptures are unlocked to us, and we can see the things that are happening now, the things that have happened before, and the things that will happen. Because the Most High has written us a book to tell us how to live and to tell us how the earth will progress while we are living. And the things that will happen to our people. So we're going to start today off with a good story in the Bible so I can explain the reasoning that I can even have this discussion. Some Israelites believe this is a discussion that should be had. Some people believe that we shouldn't be involved in what I'm going to discuss today at all. But in my opinion, we should be. And I think I have some biblical context behind that. Now you can take it as you may. But we go back and we look at Paul. Now, anybody that knows me knows in the New Testament, Paul's writings, hate to say this, but they're not my favorite writings. You understand? Because I think they lead a lot of people astray. Not because of Paul's fault, but because of the context in which they put these books into the scriptures. So if they put these books into the scriptures within the context of this is meant to be understood by someone who already has a grave understanding of the law and the Old Testament, it will make more sense. But they put these books in there half-heartedly. When Paul was writing these books to leaders of churches, not to members of churches. You understand? He was sending this book to leaders, people who are already well-taught, well-versed in the law. So they understood what Paul was saying when he spoke in those terms, when he spoke in spiritual terms, and he's making a connection with the physical law so they can understand. But for us, for most people, they're just taking Paul's writings and taking them as they are, as if he's talking about the physical law in all cases. But Paul does give us a good example. Paul was the son of a Pharisee, one of the most prestigious religious courts in Israel at the time. Paul was also a Roman citizen. And he says this: I am a Roman citizen, but I am also an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. He also says, to Caesar have I offended of nothing, and to the law have I offended nothing. Okay? Now, in this case, we see Paul using his status in the scriptures as a Roman citizen. Because when he speaks and he tells the centurion that he's a Roman citizen, the centurion backs off and says, whoa, y'all have to chill, because if y'all do this to a Roman citizen, Caesar will have your head. You can't do this to a Roman citizen. A lot of people like to bash on the brothers from RUIC. I don't agree with all their teachers. I agree with a lot of them, and I agree with the work that they do in teaching the Lordship of Israel. If you awaken that person, now that person can go out and make decisions as he will as to what doctrine he'll believe, you know, what doctrine he'll follow. But at least you did awaken him. Right? So I don't see any wrong in what they're doing. And one thing that they'll say, I saw Bishop Nathaniel in a live video I was watching one time. He was talking about some of the footage they had gotten in another country. I forgot which country, but he made sure to say that he was going to wait till he got back, till he flew back to England, I think it was, some European country, before he posted the video. Because he wanted to make sure he would say he's a United States citizen. So he needs to get back to a country that's friendly with the U.S. That's not to say he's not an Israelite. That's not to say that he would not stand up against any injustice anything unlawful being done by the United States government. That's to say that he's using the resources given to him. You know, the scripture, even in the Old Testament, it said, while you're in captivity, build houses, have families. You know, go ahead and integrate yourself. Not as far as integrating yourselves as a whole into their society, but integrate yourselves as a part of that country. Stay to yourselves. Keep my laws, keep my statutes, keep my commandments. Don't let your inner person be intermingled with that country. But go ahead and build your houses and have families. Keep my law, because you're going to be here. All right? So the situation that I want to discuss today is the presidential elections and politics in general, as far as how we look at it. We look at politics, most black people, through a lens of Democrat versus Republican. Democrats good, Republicans bad. Democrats like black people, Republicans racist. Most racists are Republicans. To be honest with you, I'm going to say it's plain. Most Republicans are racist as well, or at least prejudiced. But in our beliefs, we're a bit prejudiced. We believe, as the scripture teaches us, right, that God made us a nation above all people. Now, I understand what the scripture says, but I also understand that we, as Jacob, have an understanding of the scripture. They, as the heathen, don't. So when they read that, they can assume that is their nation as well. So I understand a bit of white supremacy, because I have a little bit of black supremacy, if we're being honest. Not to the point where I have the right to beat anybody or to demean anyone, but just I believe my people are the greatest people on the face of the earth. Now, I do have a problem with, you know, white supremacists that feel the need they can harm, cause harm to my people. Because you take mine, I take yours. You drop one, we drop four. Okay? But I do understand a bit of white supremacy. I do understand you want to be surrounded by your people, because I want to be surrounded by majority of my people. Not to say I don't have some people of the other nations that around me. I don't have some friends from the other nations, just as Solomon had help from the king of Tyre to build the great temple. Right? They didn't have the same beliefs, but they were friends. They could have discussions. You understand? They were both intelligent men. So I can understand when Donald Trump says, or when Donald Trump has a lot of white people on his staff, you know, has a lot of white people in his top positions. I want to be surrounded. The next thing they discuss is morality. They say Donald Trump is completely immoral. Let me tell you the difference between Donald Trump and your neighborhood politician. Your neighborhood politician has been hiding all the dirty shit he's been doing since he was 25 and decided he wanted to be a politician. All of the dirty little fleas, he had half of them killed. He paid the other half of them to move into another country and is still paying them to this day to live in another country and to keep quiet. And if they ever try to talk, he'll kill them. All the money he's laundered, all the dirty money he took from different organizations to vote different ways, all that's been hidden. All the secret meetings where they literally talk about how to keep black people from becoming economically active on a large scale, that these politicians have sat through. All the actual meetings they've had to say, we've signed these contracts to these federal prisons and we owe them if we don't send prisoners, so we have to have stricter laws to put more of them in prison so we can fill up these prisons for our friends, so we don't have to pay our friends that we gave these very great contracts to, because we assumed these niggas would be bad, but they ain't that bad, so now we gotta just criminalize everything they do. We got to come up with a 1994 crime bill that makes crack almost twice as much jail time as cocaine, even though all you got to do is add baking soda. Right? All these things they've been hiding. Donald Trump, living a life of entertainment, didn't hide anything he did. He did it all in front of a camera. Made millions off of it. Some people say billions off of it. At least hundreds of millions, I think we can all agree, right? Off of doing nothing but putting his life in the personal eye. Now, I don't agree with anything Donald Trump does for the most part. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care about a heathen's morality. Unless that heathen expresses to me that he wants to cleave to the nation. that he even has expressed that to me, I have no care one way or another in which what he does. He's serving his God. That's what he's supposed to do as far as I'm concerned right now, because we as a nation haven't proven ourselves capable of rulership. So we can't put an iron boot down on anybody. We don't have a damn iron boot. We barely got a damn boot. Don't worry. We're going to make an iron boot, though. Yeah, Most High God going to send us some material down, and we're going to make an iron boot. But right now, we don't have that iron boot. We can't put an iron boot on nobody's neck and make them believe nothing. So all I can look for as far as what a politician is going to do for me, and I'm going to be honest with you, in certain communities, it's no need you vote. I'm going to be honest. It depends on what kind of community that you live in and what state you're in and how unified you are. It's good to vote once we're unified. But if you're not unified, you're right, your vote doesn't matter. A unified vote matters. Singular vote doesn't. But when you're looking for who to vote for, I always tell people to look for a quid pro quo. You're going to give me X, Y, and Z in exchange for my community's vote. If you don't give us X, Y, and Z, we're going to recall you along with half of people that didn't want you to be in there anyway. So then we're going to get you back out of that seat if you don't give us X, Y, and Z. But if you give us X, Y, and Z, next election, you'll get the first right of refusal to our X, Y, and Z of next election. Quid pro quo. I'm going to give you this in exchange for this. These things in exchange for our vote. Not, I like you, I like black people, and I think they should get everything they're deserving of. No. Tom Steyer, and I'm going to tell you why Tom Steyer did. His advisors have told him since Joe Biden did so bad in Iowa, you have a chance now to win South Carolina if you can appeal to black people. So he went out there, he sat down with his advisors and said, listen, come up with all the policies you can that's going to get them niggas to vote for me. He said, niggas, you suppress that black people. Get the African Americans to vote. But in his head, he thinking, tell me whatever I can say to get niggas to vote for me, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it too. I don't get no fucks. I'm going to do it. I got to win. That's what you think right now. They can win this shit for me. Fuck it. I want to win. I want to win now. We came out there talking hard shit about reparations, and we deserve it of this, and we got to be economically enfranchised and all this shit that sound real fucking good. That shit sound real good. That shit sound pretty as hell. But at the end of the day, he might do it. But he don't really care about us. He cares about our vote. But it doesn't matter as long as I'm getting X, Y, and Z. I don't know what the fuck you care about me, and I don't know what the fuck you like me. I don't like you. This is a transaction. This ain't no business agreement. This is a business deal. This cash deal. I don't got to like... If I want to buy a house, and somebody sell it for $7,500, but it's somebody I hate, $7,500 house or $20,000 right now, I put $5,000 into this, worth $33,000. You think I ain't gonna do that deal for $7,500 in cash? He gonna sign that deal, or he gonna sign that deed over? Yeah, I'm gonna spend extra $500 because I'm gonna send it through a lawyer because I don't trust his ass, but fuck it. I'm up. So those are the discussions that you have with every politician on every level, as long as you're unified as a community. Not do you like me. Not, I marched with Martin Luther King at Selma. I don't give a fuck. Excuse my language, but I don't care. But you marching with nobody nowhere. I don't care about that. You did that for a show, too, because you've been a politician. Everything about an image. You ain't give a damn about Martin Luther King either. Because why you ain't publicizing the fact that Coretta Scott King sued the U.S. government, and they were found in fault in Martin Luther King's death. Y'all ain't talking about that, but y'all want to talk about them march with Martin Luther King's family. Why the hell they ain't talking about that then? Why they ain't talking about reparations? Why they ain't talking about what Andrew Yang talking about? The one political ideology that Martin Luther King had was that Americans should get the way to fix poverty in America is to pay Americans for just being a part of the greatest society in America. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it's the same thing Andrew Yang saying. UBI, the universal basic income. Ain't nobody else talking about no Martin Luther King ass policy. Martin Luther King wasn't conservative. He wasn't for abortion or gay marriage. He was not a motherfucking liberal. He wouldn't have been, excuse my language, I'm so sorry. He was not a liberal. And he wouldn't have been a liberal. Would have been a conservative. Staunch conservative in these days, because this is getting ridiculous. And black people, as moral as a people as we honestly are, at least we used to be, and most of at least the old ones are that are still supporting the liberals, the reason they support the liberals is because somebody told you somewhere on down along the line that Republicans were racist. I only understand exactly where it came from, because if you even go back to the Bull Connor was a Republican. George Wallace was a Republican. All these governors down here in the South, it was actually called the Southern Democratic Party. It was Southern. My nigga. My Hebrew, I'm sorry, but it stresses me out. The South, the Democrats. Do you know who freed you from slavery? Not because they wanted to, but because it was a business transaction. The Democrats tried to keep you in slavery, and they like to say, oh, no, they switched platforms. No, they didn't. Let me tell you what happened. When they talk about they switch platforms. At one point, the country got to a point where it was completely, it was almost going to be a one-party system. So the other party had to adopt a lot of the things, all right, of the other party just to keep making it a two-party system. Nobody didn't flip nothing. All right? Nobody, it wasn't no flipping of no parties. The Democrats been Democrats, they still been Democrats. That's why the Democrats was the ones trying to keep you in slavery, and Democrats was the ones that tried to get you Jim Crow. But somehow they putting the motherfucker mind on some Republican shit. I don't know where it came from. Excuse my language again, but this is really stressing me out. I'm not even going to have a voice tomorrow. I'm going to make sure I get all this out for y'all tonight. Because we have to understand that the people, it is no longer about what they tell us and who they tell us like us, who they tell us don't like us. I don't care if you like me or not, bro. I like myself. I like my God. My people like me. You don't have to like me. I don't like you. This is a business transaction. We can be friends later. If you want to be friends, if you want to get any lost statues, or if you want to tell the man we got a conversation. But right now, this ain't no friendly stuff, and I ain't going to vote for you because we friends. Hey, man, if we friends, I might give you first right of refusal to give me X, Y, and Z, but you get the same deal. If you don't do it, you're going to get recalled. I don't got good friends with you. We ain't that good friends. You're going to lie to my phone. We ain't looking for no friends. We looking to be liked. We looking for somebody that's moral. We're talking about misogyny. Listen, let me tell you something. You know how all these people, it's only two people on that stage that can possibly not be misogynistic. You know, the women are even misogynistic. Only two people that got a chance to not be misogynistic is Andrew Yang and Pete Buttigieg. Because they were born in a time that misogyny was somewhat declining. Tom Steyer, Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, Joe Biden, Mike Bloomberg, whoever else you name, a misogynistic at heart. Let me tell you why. They were born 1940 between 1940 and 1960. At that time, one of such things was women's rights. Then women's rights came along, but it still wasn't nowhere near what you're talking about today. It was still very misogynistic. You go to work, but you still come home and cook dinner and take care of your kids. Now it's a completely different system. Whether that's wrong or right, whatever. But all them up there are misogynistic, talking about misogyny. Listen, I want to be honest with you, right? Let's dig into Hollywood too. I want to dig into all these Donald Trump issues. Not that I'm defending them, because I don't agree with it, but I'm just trying to explain to you that it doesn't disqualify you from vote for him if he's going to give you a quid pro quo. They say Donald Trump had sexual assault cases against him. Now, Donald Trump was a millionaire. Do you see his wife? His wife does not like him. His wife likes his money. And she accepts him because he has his money. All right? That's how rich people do it. You know, rappers are ugly. You all know this. Get a little money. Now you're cute to these females because they are shameless women. They return as dogs. Give them a treat. And they'll do what you ask them. That's scripture. Ain't everybody a shameless woman, right? That's what the scripture tells me. I didn't say that. So the same thing Donald Trump said on that tour bus was true. When you rich, you just grab them right by them. They gonna like it. Give them a couple hundred, go on about your business. You know, it is what it is. It wasn't nothing outrageous that, for him to say then. I think about what time it was. Even what time it is now, I don't really care. I don't abuse women. I don't disrespect women. I don't got no tolerance for nobody to do within my presence. A woman want to be disrespected. I'm not going to stop you from disrespecting her then. I look like a bozo. Right? But if a woman don't want to be disrespected, I'll punch in your shit. It ain't very easy, right? Most of these women prefer to be disrespected. And what I call disrespect, they don't prefer to be it. They don't prefer that. They call themselves bitches. What do you mean? I don't understand. What is misogyny these days? They shut their ass on camera for free. They get naked for free. I don't understand what's misogyny. They putting it down. I don't understand. What is misogyny these days? I don't think it's possibly real misogyny. You can be just a rapist. You can be like a sexual predator for sure. It's a lot of them, and they need to be hung, killed, hanged, something, die. I ain't finna put you in jail. I'm finna kill you. I beat you one time, and then you do it again, I'ma kill you. Like, all right, another government, kill all that. I'm talking about quid pro quo. XYZ, give me XYZ, XYZ. We know he immoral. I understand that. He's not a moral person at all. He ain't there. But neither is Joe Biden, neither is Tom Steyer, neither is Mike Bloomberg, neither is Amy Klobuchar, neither is Elizabeth Warren, neither is Bernie Sanders. Probably neither is Andrew Yang. I don't know. None of them are moral. None of them have never done anything dirty. Maybe Andrew Yang, he hasn't been inside politics. He done did something dirty, but it might not be nothing big because he ain't no politician. But anybody that's been a politician for their whole life, that is a... Politics is a weird, dirty situation, man. It ain't it. It's strange. And if you think these folks is moral and they've been dealing in politics for 40 years, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't care if they're your uncle or your auntie, they not moral at all. All right? They're not moral. It's not it. You understand? So stop looking for morality. All right, start looking for quid pro quo. What are you going to give me for my vote? And that's all I want to know. Other than that, we don't need to talk anymore. What are we talking about? Why are we? No. You're a politician. Tell me what you're going to give me for my vote. Me, my community. I don't want to hear about this is the plan for everybody and you included. No. That's not how you're going to get us to vote for me. I'm not voting for that. I understand. Yep, all that's good, fine, dandy, cool. But what? Us, me, my people. What are you gonna give us? Black people. I want to hear you say black. This is what I'm gonna give black people. I want to hear that out your mouth directly on TV and in a written statement. I need all that, and then we'll vote for you. Not. This economic plan is going to... No. Because listen, we ain't got no money to even put ourselves in the economy. We broke. We ain't got no money to eat. We broke. We ain't got no land. We broke. No power. No textile factories. No weapons factories. Very little large-scale farms. Very little large-scale ranches. There are no water treatment plants that I know of. No water bottling companies on a large scale that I know of. A couple small scales. That's actually sourcing the water from a source, not sourcing the water from somebody else that own it. That own the source from me and still getting the water. So, you got to tell us what you're going to give us. What is it? It's my belief that we should get some land in exchange for a quid pro quo from a president. I believe we should get an all-black state as a quid pro quo. Hey, black people as a whole will vote for you if you give us this. If you give us this land and $500 billion budget for 4 years, and it declined by half after 4 years, and we get that for another 7 years, something like that, and then we should be able to stand on our own 2 feet. And that'll equal out whatever. Get the numbers great. That's probably a low number. We probably need like a trillion that cut to 500 billion, you know, just to back pay us for all of the money that you owe us with inflation, for all them years of hard labor for free. We give you a discount at only a trillion. I mean, we should be getting 2 trillion that cut to 1 trillion. I would say we get 1 trillion for 2 trillion for, but maybe even 3 trillion for 5 years. From the whole world, not just the United States. Get 3 trillion for 5 years, and then 1.5 trillion for back half of another five. I'd be more like 3 for 7 years, 1.5 for 7 years. Then you can start paying. And complete anonymity. Complete anonymity. I don't want to have to answer to nobody for nothing. About how we doing nothing over here except the people that's over here. That should be a quid pro quo. Give us that, we'll give you our vote. And that's the only way you're getting our vote. And if not, we're going to cause hell in every country on the face of the earth. See, because at some point, you got to stand up. You got to start being a child in your mind. You got to start being someone that's just looking for a smile. You got to start being someone, and you know, and you even got to start being a dude that just read the Bible and don't see no action. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if you're reading the Bible, but you're not acting out what it's saying, you're not listening, you're not taking it in, then what's the point? You're a Christian. You know, I'm talking about the religious one. Not the word and follower of Christ. I'm talking about the religion. You're a religion. You in a religion. You know, understanding that scripture telling you how to live today, right now. It's giving you righteous tips for right now, not for later. It's giving it to you for right now. So if you ain't taking politics serious, listen, God gave us the commandment, and this is always my major push. What God told us to do is build a nation. God told us that the groom will come when the bride has made herself ready. The groom will come when the bride has made herself ready. The groom will come when the bride has made herself ready. We the groom. We the bride. We waiting on the groom to come. That's the Messiah. You got to make yourself ready. We got to make ourselves ready as a nation. Christ ain't dealing on an individual basis. Because God ain't dealing on an individual basis. He's dealing on the basis of a nation. And I told the Samaritans, well, you know not what you worship. For salvation is of the Jews. He told the lady, it's not fit. Did I get a dog? The food that's for the children. The lady said, can I please get some crumbs? Christ said, yeah. Come on, get you some crumbs. Christ said, teach them Jerusalem first, then go out. Stay here, tarry in Jerusalem. Let the Spirit come. The Spirit will come to you in Jerusalem. Christ said, I came to save the lost sheep of Israel. Son of Man came to save that which was lost. It's very simple if you really want to read the scripture and understand it. Right? But build a nation. A nation, build a nation. So that's going to require us to get some political sense about ourselves. And stop looking at this from the perspective of someone that like us and massaging and silence and stuff like we actually are integrating in this country. No, let's look at it from the perspective of this is us. And it's us versus the world. This is not a civil rights issue. This is an international human rights abuses issue. But because we have the luxury of being in the richest and the most powerful country on the face of the earth at this time, we have a responsibility to the black people all over the earth that are oppressed right now for us to start the revolution. We have that responsibility because we have resources that are presented to us here if we can properly use them, especially in this time, that compel us to be the greatest nation that the earth has ever seen. Because we already are the greatest nation that earth has ever seen. We just got to bring it back. We got to bring it back to when King David was ruling. We got to bring that back. We got to make ourselves as the bride ready for the groom to come and establish rulership on the earth. We have to build a nation in order for that. We have to have some political sense about ourselves. We have to look at ourselves as sovereigns. You keep looking at yourself as a so-called citizen. Listen, you're a prisoner of war. We've been at war, this current war, since about 1412, 1415, some people say, when they deposed us in Spain and then started deposing us everywhere else across Europe. We ran into Africa, and they sent the ships to Africa to get us, and they told the Africans to catch us, and they'll get Africans' guns. So the Africans went and got the Israelites from Africa where we fled, because we knew our brothers was down there ruling down there. So we ran after they deposed us in Europe, after we let them into our armies, let them into our higher ranks. And they overthrew us in Europe. Set themselves up as rulers. We fled. Then they sent the Africans down to catch us in the ships, and they brought us over here. See, at first it wasn't even, they were bringing us over here under a false pretext. Under a pretext that if we do X, Y, Z, then we'll get a percentage of this nation. We'll be able to be in rulership here. They never came. Lied to us. But fool me one time, shame on you. We can't get fooled again. We keep getting fooled every fucking year. Year after year after year. Obama didn't say nothing but hope and change. He didn't tell us nothing else he was going to do for us. He just told us hope and change. Hope and change. What does that mean, my brother? Apparently nothing, because over 8 years, we didn't get anything. You know what I'm saying? We didn't get anything in 8 years. Nothing. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense to me why we continue to allow this kind of thinking to plague our minds, as if we have to deal with someone else's morality. Like we're even moral as a people at this time. But a lot of that comes from us dealing on an individual basis. Everyone is an individual. Everybody's a GDI. Everybody on their own. Everybody want to say they're moral. Everybody say, well, dude, this is my day. No, man, listen. As a nation, this is the way we move. And if you ain't moving this way, and it's real talk, you got to be with us or against us at this point. Like, it ain't no struggle. It ain't no struggle in defense. You got to be a nation. Now, we're going to have disagreements within the nation, but we got to discuss that within the nation. As a whole. As a people. You know, and then you can start to change things. Then you make yourself a power. Another thing I want to talk about was the Palestine peace deal. And I'm going to do a whole episode on this, but I just want to tie this in. One thing that Jared Kushner said, and I don't necessarily agree with, but it makes a lot of sense when he said it. He said, excuse me. He said, the reason this peace plan is the way it is because the Palestinians at least need to come to the table and discuss what they want. Now, this peace plan is dumb, the way they present it. But the way Jared Kushner is understanding this is he's saying, listen, you haven't even proved to us that you're capable of running a nation because you don't even sit down and discuss nothing with nobody. You mad talking about you ain't going to come discuss it. But you can't beat us. So either you got to beat me or you got to come sit down and discuss something. You got to be a real country. You can't just say, I can't beat you and I ain't going to discuss nothing with you either. You got to be a man that go to war. You got to do something. But you got to prove yourself at some point of being worthy. I ain't just going to give you nothing. Either you're going to take it or you're going to sit down and ask for it. But I ain't going to give you nothing. If you want to try to take it, you can. You say y'all want the 1967 borders, then cool. I tell you what, take it from us. Hit up Iran and tell them you want to go to war tomorrow and take it from us. Other than that, get out the way. We're going to do what we want to do. It is what it is. What you going to do? And I understand to a certain extent. You know, I always tell people, that's what white people think about us. Whether it's true or not, it's whatever. But they say, man, y'all don't got nothing. So why y'all even complaining about anything that's going on? Just be quiet or out of the way. You understand? So you got to step back at some point and just build your own. Stop worrying about everything. Vote in the big presidential elections and in the state elections that matter to you, the governor, and the state houses that black people can't control. And try to get, you know, control of the state house if you can. Flip as many seats as you can. Get as many politicians in your pocket as you can because you gave them your vote to win. And then move forward with whatever political plans that you need to move forward with. And at a certain point, you will make yourself a nation. Because at a certain point, man, you have control of enough governors and enough state houses that you can amend the Constitution. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many ways to just take advantage of the system that we have to look at, because we have to build ourselves as a nation. You understand? And that means understanding every system. This is the end of this system, but we got to understand it to be able to break it completely down. We can break it down, not necessarily from the inside, but we can break it down with its own fixings if we do it the correct way. We just have to do it the correct way. We got to look at it from every angle, and whatever angle is the best angle, that's the angle we got to take, not the angle that we necessarily love. We got to take the best angle available. What's best for the people. The best angle for the people. That has to be your goal. Everyone. So as a nation, we must rise together, because right now we're falling together. So let's rise together. Let's rise up. Let's break ourselves and take ourselves from the ashes, and let's create another society. All right, this is not the end. This is only the beginning for us as a people. This is the time that we dreamed about. What a time to be alive. I thank the Most High for even letting me live during this time, but we must take advantage of the time in which we are living. Because if we don't take advantage of this time in which we are living, we are complete and utter failures. Now, I always speak of this parable that Christ gave. You know, the talent that he gave out to the certain ones, and the one man saying, I knew you was a good investor, Lord. So I said, I'll put your money in the ground, buried it so I wouldn't lose it. The Lord said, why ain't you at least put it in an interest-bearing account so we can at least gain some interest? You didn't do nothing. So I'm going to take what you got, and I'm going to give it to somebody else because you didn't do nothing with it. So the time that you live in and the gifts that you give it must be used for the kingdom, and he's going to take it from you and give it to somebody else. That's even a message to myself. So it takes a lot to build a nation. But you got to be ready to do it. And you got to be ready to grow. All right? So shalom, Mr. Nodget. This is a special episode of From the Desk of the Nodget. Please, please start looking at politics from a different lens, man. And make sure that we understand that it's bigger than just morality of the heathen. It's bigger than who likes us and who doesn't like us. It's bigger than who they say is the white supremacist. It's bigger than all that. It's about morality, it's about our law, and it's about what's going to give us the best option to move forward. Who's giving us the best thing for our nation, our people as a whole? Who's giving us X, Y, and Z in exchange for the black? And maybe even we can combine with the Hispanic and get a real big percentage of the vote. Native American and get a real big percentage of the vote. You understand? So shalom, Mr. Nodget. All right. From the desk of the Nodget. I'll be back with a longer episode. We're going to discuss the Israeli peace plan. We're going to discuss this election and the candidates a little bit deeper. And we're going to go deep into how to build a nation. All right. All praises be to the Most High Power, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.